Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm headed down the highway to my favorite fishing hole. Can't wait to hang me a big one on my brand new fishing pole. As my buddy pours the coffee, I turn on the radio. We listen to O'Neill on the Great Outdoors Show. If it's a lunk or bass you're after, or a trophy for the wall, just pick up the telephone and give O'Neill a call.
Yes, indeed. When it comes the old fishing, theme song. Listen.
Very much he don't know. Talking about O'Neill
if you can.
On the Great Outdoors Show.
And here's the payoff.
Last night I dreamed I passed away and went on to my reward. There I stood in heaven, talking to the Lord. I said, how's the fishing here? He said, I don't know. You'll have to call O'Neill on the Great Outdoors Show. Talking about O'Neill on the Great Outdoors Show.
Oh, I was so thrilled with that. Now, you're listening to O'Neill Outside, second hour of Outdoors, headed your way here on a Saturday morning on the SB Nation Radio Network, AM 750 WSB and 95.5 FM WSB across the country. Welcome to the program, everyone. Some crass self-promotion. You can listen to O'Neill Outside podcast by going to our website at O'NeillOutside.com. You can listen on Apple and SoundCloud and Google and, you know, lots of places. So listen to the podcast of shows like this and my personal messages also. You can register for and receive our newsletter. It's a video newsletter. You get it once a month. I don't try to sell you anything, but it's some excellent videos that are teaching videos, and we have 360,000 people who watch, who are subscribers, and you should too. If you don't like it, click off of it. We'll have the, in this hour of the program, we will have the the Medal of Honor tribute, the True Turn tackle tips, and the mailbag. So we do have a busy time. Our telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta Collier area and all across the country is 800-972-8255, 800-972-8255. So join us, the True Turn Tackle Tips, the mailbag, and your calls. We'll be back. You're listening to O'Neill Outside Saturday mornings on WSB. Before we get to the next call, I have TJ's True Turn Tackle Tips. TJ Stallings was a natural teacher. He's gone from us now. He worked for True Turn. He's figuring out things to help fishermen. Listen to this. When you're getting your tackle ready this year for the spring fishing, he says, run a piece of cotton through the guides on your rod. If any of the cotton sticks to the guides need replacing. There are cracks in there that you can't see. And if your mono gets caught in the crack, it may scratch the mono and you lose the fish of a lifetime. And that is your True Turn Tackle Tip of the Week from True Turn. Now let's take the calls. Bob is calling. From Marietta, Bob is calling on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How you doing?
Outstanding.
I'm really enjoying your old bumper music from back
then.
Oh,
yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Aside from wanting to meet you and Gail, I would love to meet Hal Coleman and watch him and his persona of Milton Cow Rifle.
I'll tell you how you can I don't know how you can meet him, but I can tell you how you can watch him. And you can go to my website, and on my website there are DVDs and so that you can watch Milton Crabapple. And he is a delight.
And what's but your you website? Have to,
O'NeillOutside.com.
O'NeillOutside.com.
Now, okay, but you have to remember, then I'll let you go. You have to remember that everything that Milton says is a con job. Everything he says is a joke.
Okay? I know.
And that's what makes him so much fun.
I love hearing him.
Oh yeah, me too. He's a good friend.
O'NeillOutside.com.
That's the one.
Because I saw it.
You bet. Thanks for calling, pal. I appreciate you getting up so early. All right, we've got time at 14 after the hour. Let's talk to Mac. Where in the world have you been? You've been out selling stuff.
I was at the Richmond Fishing Expo last week and didn't get up in time to call. I just cut to the
station. That's quite all right. Those trade shows can really be something. Well, how did you do?
We had a good show, met a lot of fishermen and outdoors enthusiasts, and it was good. It was a good trip, but glad to be back home, no doubt.
Well, good. I know you did wonderfully. Since you called, the next thing I was going to do was the mailbag. I would like for you to answer the mailbag. Are you ready?
I don't know. We'll find out. Go ahead.
you better get ready. Okay.
I'm ready.
Brandon writes, and he says, I've been bass fishing in cold weather before, and I was good at it. Now, I don't know if I've lost my touch, but I cannot get a bite. Deep water, chartreuse worm, slow reeling, drop down deep, all the tricks I previously have been successful for me does not work anymore. What's going on with this guy?
Did he specify where he's fishing?
No, just cold, deep water.
I would tell him, for one, something's obviously changed, and it's probably not him. He's letting that get in his head. He's thinking he's doing something. He's not. Mm-hmm. The fish have changed. Maybe his lake, and if he's talking about this year specifically or recently, maybe he had a big cold influx of new water. And I've always thought the toughest thing to catch a fish out of was new, cold, dirty water. We had that happen last week all over the state.
Oh, yeah. I've never been good enough to catch fish in cold, clear or cold new water. And if it's got a little stain to it, you can count me out. I'm not going to catch a fish.
I bet you that's what happened, and it's probably it may not even be the fish or bite. It may have moved them if it was enough. And once the water moderates, they'll come back. It takes a couple of days. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It's just my guess is something's really dramatically changed in the lake. It might not even be something he could see. It's probably not what he's doing. It's something that the fish are doing that he's not picking up on, be my guess.
I
keep
agree.
Doing what
the fish, doesn't suddenly get smarter.
No.
No, they left.
There's a lot of things that go on in their environment that we can't monitor from up here.
Yeah,
so bait fish move. And so something's just changed with his lake. His technique's probably sound. The methods he's using, things that work tend to work every year. So I would suggest keep doing what you're doing. Maybe think outside the box and fish places that you haven't been places. Try that.
And one other thing, and then I have something for you. One other thing, whatever you and this applies to all fishermen. Whatever you might change to, that's new. Worm fishing, crankbait, whatever it is. If you've changed from the big lake to the river, whatever the change you've made. It takes more than an hour for you to investigate whether it's going to work or not. I tell everybody, I'm going to try something new today because I understand somebody catches a lot of fish doing it. I would say you need to do that all day.
Yeah, to understand it and evaluate it and give it a fair chance, because it may be a fabulous technique. If there's nothing there, you're in the wrong place, wrong depth, whatever, it doesn't work. So I agree with that 100%.
Okay. the fish that you're posting on your website, man, you are whacking them, aren't you?
But yeah, I haven't been able to fish the last few days. Before we left, we were catching them really well, and fishing's been good. It's really fished well for January, which January is never, you can be up and down. It depends on the weather, but our water temperature's 50, 51, which for this date's actually a little warmer than normal. So, yeah, the lake's fished well, and man, no reason to see. And, you know, here's something to think about, too, for everybody. We're in late January, and we've never gotten cold. There's a chance the water's never going to get super cold. So we should just be able to move right on through the spring. And for the most part, we've had good fishing weather. This past week was pretty tough. It was really cold. But we're past that. It's going to moderate, and we should go back to normal weather. So the lakes have fished well, not just Lanier, but all lakes, from what I'm seeing, and no reason to think it won't do that. And the spring's might get off to an early start. Who knows? We got a lot of winter left, but yeah, it's been good, and optimistic that it'll stay that way.
And we're a month into the increased hours of daylight.
Absolutely, we're a month off the solstice, so the days, and you can tell the days are getting longer. Look at some of the plants; they're responding ahead of schedule, if you will. Look at some of your trees and how they're budded out. In our yard, we've got buttercups up already. That's early. That's a month early almost. Yeah. So,
well, I'm glad you had a good show, and that Max Mini Max or whatever it is that you're using, you must be really whacking them, because I'm looking at some great photos you're putting up.
Yeah, and a lot of those are customers, and they're coming off different lakes. Mini Max it's been incredible. We had great buzz with it up at Richmond. I was surprised people heard of it up there and were fishing it. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's got year-round application, but the last few weeks have been really good with it. Some nice fish. So we're going to go put one to good use right here in a minute.
Oh, you're going out today?
We're going to fish today, and we're back now. The traveling and goofing off's over. It's time to fish now. We're back at work.
Okay. All right. Well, all right, one more thing. Give me the date that springtime arrives and it change and the fishes change. I'll give you one shot at it.
I am going to say, if I had to pick a day, I'm going to say March 10th.
March 10th. I'm going to write it down and challenge you on that.
Okay, that's the point, I think. That's not the true beginning of spring.
No.
But that's the point where the number of hours of daylight kind of equal out.
You
just said, photo period's longer. They're committed. The waters have usually warmed up past 50, and they're going to stay there. And that's when things really, really ramp. That's when fish commit to spring, for lack of a better term.
It's spring equinox, right?
The equinox, yes, is not until April.
Yeah. But all right, I got you, Mac. I got to go, pal. Have a great weekend. Say hello to your bride.
Will do, brother. Thanks. Good talking to you.
You bet. See you later. This is O'Neill. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Let's look at the mailbag one more time. Then I want to talk. Well, let's go ahead and talk to Craig. He's been holding on quite a while. Craig, good morning. You're on O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Good morning, O'Neill. I can hold on all day. I'm going to listen every morning anyway.
Okay, good deal. Glad you called.
Well, I got to tell you, me and Don and some of us are telling our age when we go to talk about listening to the original Great Outdoors Show. and you told a gentleman a while ago to be careful about Milton, but you know, Gadabout is real. Now
there was a real Gadabout.
but the thing I called to tell you is I won the prize package a year ago. Well, April, and of course, enjoy it every day. But the only problem I have with it is Arctic ice. I've ordered probably $200 worth of them things since I got the pack, my prize package, and them things are the best. So
yes, they are.
Not trying to make an ad on the radio on my call, but I tell you what, the extra large Tundras will keep them. It will freeze your cold boots.
Yes, indeed.
But that's a great one. But listen, anyway, that's all I had to say. Enjoy the show every morning, and all your callers, Matt, Don, and.
All right, let me ask you a question. Okay. Out of all the outdoor television show hosts, professional fishermen, all these famous people, Bill Jordan and everybody, whom would you want to meet?
Well, I don't know if he qualifies or not, but thanks to your show, I got to know Mr. Tofield Bourgeois. And
Oh, yes.
I'm going to tug on your heartstrings about it because I know you and him are pretty close. But
yeah.
You know, I think about him quite often and go on his website and kind of read the memoirs that people wrote. But I'm kind of like Don. I've been around a long time, and I just, you know, I've traveled the outdoors and reread the book twice. And, you know, I can tell folks that if you ain't ordered it again, order it and share it with someone because it's not a book about this, that, and the other. It's just a book about us hunting and fishing. It carries me back to my early days, and I think every man that reads it, or woman, or whoever that's experienced what you have, you kind of put it on paper for us.
Well, you're very kind to say that thing, those things about O'Neill Outside, and I think with the tagline works out, doesn't it? People and places along the way.
It couldn't be any better. The only way you could do that is if you'd experienced it. And like I said, when you're reading it, you're there.
And the person that Craig is making reference to is Teofile Bouchois, who founded Cajun Vista Lodge in Barataria, Louisiana, and he died in a plane crash here. It was August. Time is a runner, isn't it? It was August of this year.
Yep.
He died in a plane crash on a fishing trip. And Craig, do you remember his full name?
Theophilus. Let's see, I won the prize package on this now, April last year. Theophilus. I can't say it now.
His name is Theophilus Jean Antoine Bouchois III.
It rolls off the tongue. Well, that's what I wrote in April last year. I actually won it, and the reason I kind of had to up and up on everybody is I just finished the book.
Oh, okay.
And so he's of course he's in there, and
very much,
you know,
so. Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to let somebody else enjoy the talking like I do. I'm going to sit back and listen and enjoy a cup of coffee.
Mighty fine. See you later, pal. Have a great weekend. Let's see there. Okay. Well, I wish he could. I wish Craig could meet Teofile Bouchois. Because if he could, Teofile would still be with us. And he's not. But his son, Teofile Bouchois, the fourth, has taken over Cajun Vista Lodge, and it runs like a top, and it's every bit as good as it was before, with all the combination of places to drive to. You park your car, your lodging is there, your food is there, the boats are there, everything is there. And more important than anything else is the fish are there. Big time. The fish are there. Big time, believe me. So, there you are. Okay. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. For those of you in the northern climes that are listening on WSB and the Sports Broadcast Network, I've got a little recommendation to you. Those of you who've you've got your boat in a slip somewhere at a marina, and it's ice covered or it's slick and it's wet and everything, please, that's a two-person job. Really? Taking some ice off and kind of making sure everything's okay? The reason is there's very few people at the marina. It's cold. It's a two-person job just in case you fall in. Everything's wet and slick, and if you fall into that 50-degree water or less, in the 40-degree water up in our northern part of the country, you don't last long. So you need to be careful in you winterizing your boat, okay? That's a two-person job, and I'm not afraid to tell you, you're going to look funny, but you probably should wear a life preserver at least while you're doing that winterization. That's sort of something for your boat check, if you will. And since Craig made a reference to it, I would invite you to go to O'NeillOutside.com. And on the homepage, the book, which is called O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, And I'm impressed that Craig says he read it two times. That's an outstanding compliment to the book, and it's. But I will tell you, it's not John Steinbeck, it's not Ernest Hemingway, it's just O'Neill, and about the people and places that I've met along the way. It does. It is a bit. How shall I say? Revealing when people like him and people like Don from Ocean Isle say that they've been listening to the show since the early 90s. Yes, indeed. The O'Neill Outside radio show, or as it began, the Great Outdoor Show, is the longest running show, non-news show, on WSB radio. It's been on now for 28 years. Maybe we'll find out how to do this by then. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Now, at our website, you'll see right in the middle of the website homepage, you'll see the mailbag. And one of the questions on the mailbag I wanted to get to, which I think is revealing, John writes, he says, my granddaughter loves to squirrel hunt. She's really a good shot. She loves to come over and we target practice shooting cans. It's our thing to do together. Isn't that great? Do you have any recommendation for a young hunter? What should she hunt next? And should she upgrade her gun? Well, my recommendation, she will have to upgrade. What would you recommend? Thanks for the quality education. The next thing for her to start to hunt this spring is the Eastern wild turkey. You have to be good at more things, more combination of things to hunt the Eastern wild turkey than any other big game animal in North America. Camo, absolutely. Stealth, you cannot move. Call and get a response. You call and get a response from ducks, but you just don't shoot at the bird. You have to shoot at a particular spot on the bird. A bad shot on a turkey is nothing, as Tom Kelly said, is food for wildcats. So there's no other. And then finally, when you're turkey hunting, the Eastern especially, when he gobbles and you call, or you call and he gobbles, you are taking him out of his normal mating routine, because when he gobbles, the hen is supposed to go to him. But you're inviting him to come to you. That's why my tutor in turkey hunting, a fellow by the name of Roscoe Reams, the greatest turkey hunter I ever sat with, says patience kills turkeys. And every time I ever went with Roscoe, we didn't take a turkey until 9:30 or 10 a.m. So I'm recommending to John and his daughter that you should try turkey hunting. It is the best wild game animal in North America. It beats bear and elk and deer. Everything else is boring, you know, compared to turkey hunting. Now, if you go out west and hunt the Rio and the Miriam and the Gules, that's a whole different story. They'll practically come up and eat out of your hand. They're easy. But the Eastern and the Osceola in Florida, it's a different story, man. You've got to be practiced over and over and over again. And I would invite John to do that with his daughter and look at her face when she hears the first gobble. It's heart-pounding action, that's for sure. Sure, 404-872-0750-800. 972-8255. There's more outdoors headed your way. And at 5:50 this morning, we'll have the Medal of Honor tribute. And I've got a story to tell you about that. We'll be back. Before we get to a couple of topics here that I want to get to, I want to chat now first. He's always an enjoyable caller. And so let's chat with Johnny, calling from the New York and the Catskills or the Adirondacks or the Himalayas or someplace.
greetings from the Catskill Mountains.
Oh, the Catskill Mountains. There you are.
Yes. We enjoyed our January thaw. It's always good to have one. Not only myself, but the deer really enjoyed it, too.
Good.
Now, but we do have some snow on the ground, and, it's always a good time to get out. But, you and, like, Milton and the other folks have been talking about squirrel hunting, and I did extensive squirrel hunting way back in the day when I didn't have much food. And,
I understand.
O'Neill, is not just the hunt, but it's the experience. And let me go on one story. I was squirrel hunting there in the fall, and a little sharpshin hawk, it was during the migration, landed on a chipmunk about 20 yards in front of me, and it started subduing it. And the hawk looked up at me and flew off and left that chipmunk there. So I went over to the chipmunk. I always like examining behavior of animals. That's what I really enjoy, too. So the chipmunk was pretty banged up. He regained all his senses except his sight. I snapped my fingers. He reacted to sound, but he couldn't see. I waved my hands over him. So I ended up putting him out of his misery. But what he was doing, he was going around in circles, okay? So he was blinded, and he was going around in circles. You know how you hear about a lost hiker will circle to the right if they're right-handed, and they'll circle to the left? Yes, okay. So a few years later, I was walking through the snow, and I always like following tracks. It's always an enjoyable thing because you learn so much about animals by just following the tracks and reading the stories in the snow. I came across porcupine tracks that were going in a corkscrew pattern. I'd never seen anything like it before. I took a photograph of it, and I knew what was the matter with him. He couldn't see. Oh. He did just what that chipmunk was doing. So when I caught up to him, he was a pathetic way, and I ended up putting him out of his misery. Groping around and such. But I immediately recognized those tracks and knew what his problem was. That was during the year of the rabies, too. I don't know if he was rabid.
Oh, that probably could have been it.
It could be.
It always surprises me, and you can comment that when, and I don't have much snow here, but when I do, I'm always surprised at the amount of tracks that you see in the snow. I mean, there's animals walking all over the place.
They are. And what, actually, one animal, like take a rabbit, they go back and forth all night. They could it looked like a whole herd of them were out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you can. Go ahead.
I got a request for your Medal of Honor.
Okay.
Next month is going to be the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Iwo Jima. And, I mentioned to you about my Uncle Ed down there in Culpeper, Virginia. It's February 19th is when the battle started. And by chance, a gentleman hooked up actually with my cousin. She was at a filling station. She had an Iwo Jima bumper sticker on a car. And he's the head. He's heading the 75th anniversary down there in Quantico. And he ended up hooking up with her and Uncle Ed's been interviewed for that too. You know, they're trying to get as much information from survivors. There was 27 Medal of Honor awards given in the Battle of Iwo Jima.
Wow. I'll have to look one of those up for the next couple of weeks.
I'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My father. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I want to hear it.
I said, my father was a radio operator on a B-29, and he made 25 missions over Japan. That was my stepfather. My first father died. He was a pilot in the Army Air Corps, and he crashed when I was 6 weeks old. My mother remarried when I was three. But the point of bringing that up is that My father always said the heroes in that in the Pacific were the guys who took Iwo, because that right. gave him a place to land. Or he yes. and his crew would have been dead long ago from being shot up by the Japanese Zeros. He said those 50 caliber cannon shots out of those Zeros went all the way through that plane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. We should never forget what people greater than us have done for us.
Yes.
O'Neill, you mentioned, I think it was last week, about chestnut tree blight.
Yes.
And up here, there was a Dutch elm tree blight back in the 50s, which killed them off. Now, and amazingly, the ash trees, the Asian ash borer beetle, I believe it's called, mm-hmm. is, you know, that those ash trees are going to take a hit. It might even decimate them. I can hardly believe it. You probably swung a piece of ash wood in the baseball days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Day.
Yes, I
yeah.
did.
Well, there might not be ash trees here in the future.
I'm going to brag a little bit since you brought up the baseball.
Sure.
Okay. I was 18 years old, and we were a poor middle-class family. And I was having a great season, and I broke my bat. So I took some small nails and nailed it back together, the crack, and taped it up really tight. So the next time I used it in the game, the opposing manager came out and challenged my use of that bat. Now, we're youngsters playing baseball. He didn't need to do that. He just was exercising his power, okay?
Sure.
So yeah. I had to go back to the dugout, and I scouted around and got a bat that I thought would work, okay?
Yeah.
On the first pitch, I hit a home run. When I rounded third, I tipped my hat to him, a smart-ass 18-year-old.
Very good.
Yep. No kidding. Well, hey, great call. I always look forward to you giving
you
us a shout.
Yep. You'll
and
take
I'll,
care.
I'll look into that Iwo, too. There you go. Thanks,
appreciate
pal. There you are. It's 57 after the hour, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. We've got the Medal of Honor coming up in about 2.5 minutes, but I want to take this time to tell you, if you're a Georgian or you live in the surrounding states and you might be seeking a Georgia hunting or fishing or combination license, be very careful. I understand that there is a scam, and I'm sure it's not just Georgia, but it's everywhere, where you can telephone to get your license or over the internet and get your license. Go to the Department of Natural Resources to get your license, because I understand there's a license scam now to solicit funds for your licenses, and it's not true. So be very careful about doing that for your license. For instance, see, in Georgia has more non-resident hunting licenses sold in Georgia than any other state. Quite a surprise, huh? It's the number one state for non-resident hunting licenses. And it probably would be for non-resident fishing licenses, too. But South Carolina license holders can fish in Clark Hill, the Savannah River, Hartwell, and even Russell. And on the western side, they can fish West Point Lake, the Chattahoochee River, Lake Eufaula, and Seminole, so they can go with their licenses. So, anyway, that's a little bit of a lesson and a warning to be sure about how you buy your licenses in the state of Georgia, and for both residents and non-residents. That's how we support wildlife, is our licenses, tags, permits, and state park usage. If there are no hunters, there'll be no wildlife. if there are no fishermen, there will be no fish. And now, in the next few seconds, we'll have the Medal of Honor tribute.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Sergeant Matthew Williams, January 25th, Medal of Honor. Sergeant Williams was part of an assault and had sent enemy machine gun sniper rocket propelled grenade fire engaged it. The lead portion of the assault element sustained several casualties and became pinned down on a sheer mountainside. This was in Afghanistan. Sergeant Williams, upon hearing that they were in danger of being overrun, braved intense enemy fire to lead a counterattack across a valley of ice-covered boulders and a fast-moving, ice-cold, waist-deep river. Under withering fire, Sergeant Williams and his local national commandos fought up the terraced mountainside to rescue the soldiers. Sergeant Williams braved enemy fire once again to move the team sergeant down the sheer mountainside to the casualty collection point. He carried him over his shoulder. Sergeant Williams then fought and climbed his way back up the mountainside to help defend the lead assault element that was still had several casualties in need of evacuation. Sergeant Williams directed suppressive fire and exposed himself to enemy fire in order to reestablish the team's critical satellite radio communications. He then assisted with moving the wounded down the near vertical mountainside to the casualty collection point. Noting that the collection point was about to be overrun by enemy fighters, Sergeant Williams led the team in a counterattack that lasted for several hours. When the helicopters arrived to evacuate the wounded, Sergeant Williams loaded casualties into the helicopters while continuing to direct commando firepower to suppress the enemy. His actions enabled the patrol to evacuate the wounded and the dead comrades without further casualties. Sergeant Williams, in complete disregard for his own safety and his concern for the safety of his teammates, ensured the survival of four critically wounded soldiers and prevented the lead element of the assault force from being overrun by the enemy. Sergeant Matthew Williams, Afghanistan, 2008. And that is a hero. 52 after the hour it is right now, almost 53. The Great Outdoor Show, or O'Neill Outside. Well, we play this every week. 2 hours of outdoors. Have you enjoyed the fact that there's been no politics over the last 2 hours? Personally, I've had enough of it. Way more than necessary. And that's all I'll have to say about that. And when we return, we'll wrap up the show. And I appreciate the guys who call that just listen from all over the country. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside in our 28th year of being on WSB and our third year on the SB Nation Radio Network. And we'll be back. Almost time to get out of here, but let's go ahead and talk to Jerry on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Jerry. I got 1 minute.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Outstanding.
Hey, look, buddy, a minute ago there, you said you've had your show for 20-something years, and it kind of confused me there because I've been listening to you longer than that. Was it something before that, maybe?
Well, I was on a different station for about 15 or 16 months, and I moved to WSB in 1991.
Okay. Because I'm sure that I remember listening to you back in the late 70s going deer hunting, you know, mate, you know?
Well, you might be confusing it with the television show, but I was not on radio until 1989.
Oh, okay.
It must be the television show.
I've enjoyed the show all these years. The wife and I are headed down to South Georgia to shoot some quail this morning, and then we're going to do a little bass fishing.
Fantastic.
Hi, Neil. I'm Debbie. Nice to meet you. I'm from Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got the old Aussie girl over here. I'm taking her with me. We're headed to the bush. But, hey, buddy, enjoy the show. You're awesome. You're definitely my favorite outdoor celebrity, no doubt. Nobody can come close to you in my mind. And thanks for all the memories of doing what I'm doing now, going hunting or fishing somewhere and drinking coffee and listening to your show, man. You're great. I love you.
You're very kind, and I appreciate the comments and listening to the program. You guys be safe and enjoy the weekend.
Yes, sir. You too, brother, and God bless you.
You bet. There you go. What a great way to end the show with compliments like that. And my goodness, everyone, enjoy the weekend, and be sure and take a kid this week. Can you? Remember the old saying, if you're too busy to go fishing and take a child along, you're too busy. And squirrel hunting is perfect, quite frankly. Use a 410, the both of you can go, be quiet, and listen for the squirrels. He'll remember it forever. This is O'Neill, O'Neill Outside. Glad you joined us. Everybody can go back to bed now. This is O'Neill. I'll see you guys soon.
Georgia on my mind.
I said, Georgia, Georgia, a song of you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.